Members please vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 15 members present this morning, Mr. President.
We have a quorum to do business. Would members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Parnell?
Thank you for allowing me to substitute today, Mr. President. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to serve here. We especially pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to being of service to the people of Alaska today and every day in this upcoming session. This day we especially remember the community of Bethel, all the people involved there. We pray that you would be with them as a community, with them as individuals. We pray that you would continue the healing process that is going on there and foster it. We ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Amen.
Senator Lincoln, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Adams.
Unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify the correctness of the journals for the 40th, 41st, and 42nd legislative days.
Senator Taylor.
I move to ask unanimous consent the journals be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Is there objection? Hearing no objections, the journals have been approved. That brings us to introduction of guests. Is there a guest for introduction? Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the privilege of introducing Senator Hoffman's constituents that's in the Alaska close-up. If you'll stand till I get done with this, I'd appreciate it. And if I mispronounce your name, I apologize. Shannon Egbert, Chad Gerlach, Althea George, Suzanne Moses, Buzzy George, Michelle George, Andrea Jasper, Sheila Williams, Ramona Andrews, Norma Williams, Ken Pasichnuk, John Ramos, Edward Nikolai, and if you'll help me welcome our close-up students from the Bethel area. I should have some board members from the Lower Cuscum School District if they're in the other side. Max Angela, Richard Curtis, and Roland Lewis. Are they here? Perhaps. If not, then I'll introduce the chairman of my Northwest Arctic, Northwest Slope, North Slopeboro School District, Helton Dino.
For the guest, Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a very good friend in the Ziegler Gallery, and she's been down here a number of times and always for children. I'd like to introduce Doris Bender, who's with the Chugach School District, and her whole life has been working with children.
Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce in the Ziegler Gallery a constituent of mine from Nikiski, a member of the school board, Deborah Mullen.
Senator Torgerson.
And I also have the school board member here, Kenai Peninsula School Board. I'd like you to help me welcome Sunan Learned. She's from Tote Road area. Please help me welcome her.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some young folks here with the close-up program. I'd like to introduce her from Cube Cove. Cube Cove. And my first opportunity to introduce young people from that community, Senator Zaroff always thought they were in his district, but they're really in my district, and I didn't want to tell him otherwise. But really, Cube Cove is in my Senate district and Representative Hudson's House district, so I wanted to have the opportunity to introduce these young folks and welcome them to the Senate. From Cube Cove, we have Teresa Currit, Levi Currit, if they would stand, are they here? They are. Lisa Henry, Jay Carper, and Jesse Miller. Welcome to the Senate.
For the guest, Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some of your constituents, if I may. And I didn't think you'd object. And also, they're friends of former Representative John Gonzalez, borough mayor of Denali Borough. In the Miller Gallery, I would like to introduce three ladies down from the Representative Denali Borough School Board, Edie Mercer. Would they please stand and remain standing while I introduce them? Edie Mercer from Healy, Wava Woolard from Anderson, and Ruth Zeller from Anderson. Please help me welcome them.
For the guests, Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wasn't sure what was going on. The senator from Juneau was talking about people in my district. I thank him for introducing my constituents earlier today. We'll have that debate afterwards. Mr. President, I have several guests today joining us in the Senator Miller Gallery. I've got some close-up students that I'll introduce first and ask them to stand. Dan Sheehan is their teacher from Craig School, and he's our chaperone, if he'll stand. Sarah Wicker, Connie Kanan, Paulette Davis, Brandy Bruce, Jacob Hawk, Michelle Maurer, and Aston Bush. They're from Craig, Cake, and Kluwak School District students. Please help me welcome them. Also, if I can continue, Mr. President, I do have other guests in the gallery. Behind me, as you well know, the school boards are meeting over the weekend and looking at different educational proposals that are before us. I'd like to introduce from the Kluwak School District board members Jeff Nickerson, Patty Smith, Henrietta Cato, and the superintendent of schools, who incidentally is retiring this year after a long and distinguished career in education, Mr. Morris Ververs. Please help me welcome them. And also from Craig, superintendent Nancy Billingsley is here, and Paul Thibodeau, who is a former Juneau resident, grew up here, but lives in Craig. I want to make that clear. He's the president of the Craig School Board. Please help me welcome them to the Senate as well.
Senator Taylor.
The only person I think in the Miller Gallery not yet welcome to the Senate. He said it didn't matter to him either way, but it does to me. I would like to introduce to all of you again, he's been here many times before, Superintendent of Schools from Sitka, John Holt.
For the guest for introduction. Seeing none, that brings us down to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
There are no House messages.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
Hess Committee considered Senate Bill 94 relating to designating flunitrazepam as a Schedule 4A controlled substance. Signed to pass, Senator Wilken, Chair, Senators Ward, Lehman, and Ellis. Sent to Green, signed no recommendation, zero fiscal notes attached. Senate Bill 94 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Judiciary Committee considered House Bill 91 extending the termination date of the Board of Parole. Signed no recommendation, Senator Pierce, Vice Chair, Senator Parnell, signed due pass, Senator Miller, previous House, zero fiscal note. House Bill 91 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 19, repealing the power and duty of the Commissioner of Fish and Game to assist in the enforcement of federal laws relating to fish and game, and Senate Bill 22, qualifications for appointment to the Board of Game. Signed to calendar and due pass, Senator Kelly, Chair, signed to calendar, Senators Lehman and Torgerson. Signed, no recommendation, Senator Duncan. These bills appear on today's calendar, and those are all standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction, Senator Dahl. Senate will stand at ease. We are under introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 5 by the Senate Rules Committee, authorizing a recess by the Senate and the House of Representatives for a period of more than 3 days.
Senator Taylor.
I would ask unanimous consent that Senate concurrent resolution number 5 be taken up at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
Senate concurrent resolution number 5, authorizing a recess by the Senate and the House of Representatives for a period of more than 3 days.
Is there debate? Hearing no debate, the question before the body, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 5 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. The clerk will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5 has passed the Senate.
Those are all the resolutions for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Brings us down to introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 101 by Senator Donnelly, an act relating to the adoption, amendment, repeal, legislative review, and judicial review of regulations, and amending Rule 202 Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure.
Judiciary and Finance Committees.
Senate Bill Number 101 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the eligibility of aliens for state public assistance and medical assistance programs affected by federal welfare reform legislation, and providing for an effective date.
That will be the Hess, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
Senate Bill Number 103 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to hearings before and authorizing fees for the State Commission for Human Rights and providing for an effective date.
The State Affairs and Finance Committees.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 19 by Senator Sharp and Taylor, an act repealing the power and duty of the Commissioner of Fish and Game to assist in the enforcement of federal laws relating to fish and game. Resources considered the bill, signed to pass, Senator Halperin, Chair, Senators Taylor, Torgerson, Lehman, Green, and Sharp. Senator Lincoln signed no recommendation. Judiciary considered the bill, Senator Taylor, Chair, signed to pass, Senators Parnell and Pierce also signed to pass. Rules, recommend to calendar, signed to calendar and do pass, Senator Kelly, Chair, signed to calendar, Senators Lehman and Torgerson. Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Sharp, and it's been distributed.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move amendment number 1.
There is objection. Senator Sharp, you have the floor.
Thank you. Amendment number 1 basically adds a new section for clarification, which is and broadens the title to accommodate adding section, new section 1, which goes from line 5 through 11 on the amendment. It had come to our attention that just by simply repealing the mandate to enforce federal laws and regulations as they regard to fish and game, which the statute addresses the commissioner as Commissioner of Fish and Game. Since enforcement offices of this state for fish and game are in the Department of Public Safety, we thought it prudent that we add Section 1 to make it very clear that no commissioner, employee, or agent of the state shall enforce federal statutes or regulations that is in conflict with the statute of the state relating to fish and game or with regulations adopted by the Board of Fisheries or Board of Game. So that's the purpose of amendment number 1.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I think I clearly understood the amendment. I just had a question relating to the amendment, and I was going to ask it on the bill, but this amendment probably brings the question to the forefront much quicker. I've had some concern, and I know in the Finance Committee some concern was expressed from Fish and Wildlife Protection, State Fish and Wildlife Protection, that the bill would preclude the federal Fish and Wildlife from flying with state Fish and Wildlife officers, and that in many outlying areas, in many rural areas of the state, the federal service has more ability to protect the resources, and it's important that state and federal have the ability to work together. My concern is, and I just want to be sure that's not what this amendment does, is it would prohibit federal Fish and Wildlife officers from flying with state Fish and Wildlife officers, which may be to our benefit, and at least the department is expressing concern. They don't have any problem otherwise, but they're expressing concern that they want to be sure that there's no prohibition here of them flying together because it works much better many times in outlying areas.
Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to ask a similar question before the member who's sponsoring this response to that. Having been involved in law enforcement in the past, I guess I would have a similar concern, and that is, I'll use Prince of Wales Island for an example. We have federal enforcement officers there, either with the Forest Service or other agencies sometimes that are on the island, as well as state troopers, fish and wildlife officers, and local law enforcement officials. A lot of times, each of those agencies are asked to assist one another just because of a shortage of manpower in the rural areas of the state. If there were to be an arrest made by a federal official for a federal statute or law, and they requested the assistance of a fish and wildlife trooper who may be in the area. And would this prohibit fish and wildlife protection trooper from assisting that federal officer, which, Mr. President, is really common in the rural areas? You see a lot of interagency assists. When you don't have the ability to get on the radio and have backup respond like you do in some of the in the urban areas, I guess that would be my concern. With I don't know if I'm misreading this or if this would actually, it says any other state agency, and I would think a fish and wildlife trooper or a state trooper would not then be able to assist a fellow law enforcement agency. If that was the case, I would have grave concern. If it's not, I'd need some clarification.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you. I appreciate the questions from both senators. The discussion in resources addressed some of those concerns by the department. It was pointed out that what this does is forbid any state officials from enforcing state federal statutes or regulations that are in conflict with state regulations or statutes. It does not forbid them to work in unison. The particular illustration given in the resources, their concern, or possibly during a recess there, was how the fish and game enforcement people work together with the feds on actually under the Federal Lacey Act, which enables the state people to put together a case along with the feds on game violations. This would be allowed, would not be forbidden. It's not in conflict with present state game regulations or statutes, and they can work in unison. I would hope that if they are flying together, the feds are paying their share of the airplane. But other than that, I really don't see any other problem that other than it removes the mandate that we shall enforce federal statutes and regulations that are in conflict. And there's a lot of those look like coming down the pike.
The Senator Phillips. The Senate will stand. We'll come back to order. Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make it clear on the record that this would in no way prohibit a state trooper or state enforcement officer, game enforcement officer, from assisting a federal officer as far as protecting an emergency situation or protecting from the possibility of violence and that type of situation. This only prohibits them from they themselves being mandated to enforce federal statutes or regulations.
Senator Taylor.
Yes, unfortunately, as time has passed and the federal government has mandated one provision after another on our state, our officers are continually finding and our departments are continually finding themselves in a difficult position where they have obligations that they need to enforce under federal law that are either in conflict with or at least opposed to the policies that have been set by the very regulations and authorizations that we, the legislature, have passed for them to carry out their mission. And they end up with this strange dual role. We see it frequently in DEC, where the federal government standards will be different from our standards, and we're constantly fine-tuning that agency and others. The recent enactment by this legislature of welfare reform laws, now we're trying to blend and fit those welfare reform laws that we passed in advance of the federal government into the new welfare reform law the federal government has passed, and that's causing our departments a lot of consternation and difficulties. But one that probably causes more emotion to rise quicker than any other is when we start talking about the management of Alaska's fish and game and how that fish and game is going to be managed by the officers and employees that we specifically salary and that we set the policies for here. And rather than have our commissioner find himself in a position where he is required to go along with and enforce a federal law that is totally counter to what this legislature has set, which is the existing law, by the way, because we mandate that he shall cooperate with and assist the federal government in the enforcement of their laws. That was the basis for bringing this legislation in the first place, just to remove that mandate from the books so that our commissioner could choose when and if he wished to enter into agreements with the federal government to move forward in the enforcement of those laws, and that he could take a common sense approach to that subject. I think the amendment that's currently before us just gives further definition to that. And I think that actually it improves the legislation and should add clarity for the questions raised by the minority leader and others, so that, especially with the comments made by my colleague to the right on the record, there's no intent here to prevent some officer from receiving the assistance if he's in a life-threatening situation, if he's going out to make an arrest. There's nothing within this that would prevent one of our officers from assisting him. And in fact, that federal officer has the opportunity to deputize our people at that time anyhow. So I think that's more of a tempest in a teapot than reality. And hopefully this legislation will now provide discretion to our officers and to our commissioner when he's faced with federal mandates that may not be very comfortable for them to enforce.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I still have concern. In fact, I think the bill as originally written did give the discretion that the majority leader is talking about. It just repealed a section of the statute. And based on that, clearly there was discretion that the commissioner of Fish and Game could make that decision. It wasn't forbidden to participate with just a repeal. And there was discretion given to the commissioner. But as I read this language of the amendment, I don't think discretion is there any longer. It says clearly, may not assist in the enforcement. May not, and that's telling them, they may not assist in the enforcement. Now, I think that may mean what happens if a federal wildlife officer calls for assistance because somebody has broken a statute, calls for assistance because he needs help in arresting this individual. And it's a federal regulation, not a state regulation. He calls for assistance. It says clearly here, they may not assist. I'm really concerned what this amendment does. I think it does go much further than what the bill intended, does take away that discretion, and could be interpreted to say that the department, the state officer, couldn't even assist in the arrest of an individual who had violated a federal statute that the federal Fish and Wildlife people were trying to arrest. I think we're walking on some dangerous ground here and could cause some difficulty for us in the future. I guess I would ask someone to respond. I don't think the discretion is there any longer, Mr. Majority Leader.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the discretion is still there because of the fact that it says that the federal law or regulation would have to be in conflict with state statute or regulations approved by our Board of Game or Board of Fish. I think, is the saver that the department was concerned about, that they would still be able to go out and assist in or provide the comfort level to some federal officers who may not be acquainted with the area they're going to enforce something on, and that the Fish and Game person has worked that area, could go out with them, as long as they weren't engaged in enforcing a state statute or a federal statute or regulation that is in conflict with ours. Not that they are helping to enforce a federal or accompanying federal personnel on enforcement of federal law or regulation, as long as it's not in conflict, is what the amendment says.
Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I too am still just a little bit bothered. I appreciate the member from Fairbanks who said that would not happen, but strictly from a law enforcement standpoint, I'm concerned because it does say very specific in here that no employer agent of another state department agency may not assist in the enforcement of a federal statute or regulation that is in conflict. Well, obviously there must be some conflict that's going to occur when an arrest has to be made. And the problem that I have is requiring in statute that our enforcement people cannot assist them. I mean, enforcement is a broad term. Enforcement isn't just writing them a ticket. I happen to agree with the intent of the bill that we don't want our state officers out there writing tickets for federal regulations and everything else. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I just have a problem is if, for example, an example the majority leader gave me off during a break is that we have a federal subsistence board that is passing regulations that allow for taking of a doe on Prince Wales Island, for example, and the state law doesn't allow for that. Well, if a citation was going to come out of that by a federal officer for taking too many or whatever, and there had to be an arrest made, if usually when you go to arrest somebody, you know what kind of past background this individual has. And if this person had a history of violence, if weapons or anything else, and this person was out living in the middle of no place and had access to weapons, and this person had to go and make an arrest when you're 30 miles away from your nearest law enforcement officer, a lot of times, and having been in that situation myself, a lot of times it's comforting to know that you can ask a state trooper or somebody to assist you in going out and making that arrest. So, I mean, nobody wants to go into that kind of a situation alone when you don't have the ability for backup. And by having this in statute, I'm concerned that that may be the case, because a federal officer making an arrest, the only thing we're doing is assisting him for his safety, but it says may not assist in the enforcement. Well, the enforcement is the actual arrest as well. And I know that's not the intent of the sponsor, because he indicated that to me, but I'm afraid that it may be so direct in the statute that it would that we would have a state trooper that would be in a position of saying, I, by statute, cannot legally assist you make that arrest, even though that person has shot at a police officer in the past. That could happen. I agree. It's probably very remote that would happen. But I do know that law enforcement personnel throughout the rural areas of the state where they don't have lots of personnel do work together to help each other in those kinds of situations. And so I guess we can always reconsider the issue. I could ask for a legal opinion from our staff or whatever. But I'm very concerned about it, and I would hope that maybe someone who's better able than I can assure me that this wouldn't happen.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. If it would be in order, Mr. President, I would suggest an amendment to the amendment, and that would be on line 8, delete may not assist in the, and on line 9, enforcement of. So delete may not assist in enforcement of, and replace it with shall not enforce. And that would get rid of the problem with assisting someone that requests assistance in the nature described by the senator that just spoke previous to me.
The Senate will stand at ease so we can...
To order.
Senator Taylor.
Get done with the interviews and stuff. Let me suggest what I hope may be a better analogy of where I perceive a conflict may very well occur, and we ought to be maybe thinking about those areas of possible conflict. Fortunately, right now, they're fairly remote, but as the sponsor indicated in his opening comments, they could become serious. Today on the Stikine River, not today, it's probably froze up, but in the fall of the year, historically, we've hunted moose and deer in that area for millennium, actually. And the very people who would go up that river to hunt are now qualified under federal subsistence law to hunt in that area and to hunt for a, quote, subsistence moose. Our state has closed that area to moose hunting on different occasions. This last year it was open, and they had various restrictions on the size of horn and so on that you could take within that area. Now, the federal government provides two enforcement officers. They're Forest Service employees. They're armed with Glock pistols, and they have handcuffs and so on. And they cruise up and down the river patrolling the river. Well, what they are patrolling for is that there just might possibly be a person up there who is not, quote, subsistence qualified. In other words, doesn't have the right zip code, because that's how they enforce it. They enforce it based upon what community you come from. So the people of Wrangell and Petersburg are qualified to hunt up there, but someone from Ketchikan or someone from Juneau is not qualified under the federal law to hunt on that river. So they go up and down the river patrolling it. And they're armed, and they stop your boat, and they ask you, or you come into your moose camp, and they ask you, we need to see both your state hunting license, but we also want to see the Federal Forest Service permit, where you've gone to a class and you know what size horns are, and oh, by the way, well, can we see your driver's license or some other identification that tells us what town is your resident location? Well, at that point in time, let's assume they find a couple folks from Juneau that have come down to be with their friends in Wrangell and go on a hunt. Well, those people are poachers at that point under federal law, under that federal management scheme. Those enforcement officers would have to arrest anyone that came in from Juneau or Ketchikan. Do I want my fish and game officer standing there assisting the federal officer in arresting Alaskan citizens that we have authorized under our Constitution to hunt in that area? I don't think so. In fact, I think if the federal government wants to enforce that law and exclude people from Ketchikan and exclude people from Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau from being able to hunt in that area, maybe they ought to send some more enforcement officers to enforce what we have determined in our law to be an unconstitutional law in this state. So I perceive there will be conflicts, and I perceive that those conflicts will be very genuine, but I certainly don't want to be providing tax monies from the state of Alaska to go out and enforce a law against the citizens of Alaska that is unconstitutional under the very Constitution that they swear to uphold every day. So I think there is a good analogy, and I think there is a good reason for having the amendment. And I would suggest to the sponsor that he not amend his amendment as he has suggested.
The amendment to amendment number one was a suggestion. It was not moved, so therefore we're still under amendment number one. Senator Adams.
Yes. I was going to talk on the subject, but I was hoping maybe the maker of the amendment would withdraw it until we had a legal opinion on this. We sit here and debate an amendment where we don't want to solve the subsistence, as my colleagues had stood up and talked about subsistence. Subsistence is what it's going to bring up is dual management. And some of us in rural Alaska accepts that. And because this doesn't exist a co-management plan that we're going to have to work on, even in enforcement, between the state and the federal. And so I think we need to really look hard at this amendment. And I would ask the member who submitted to withdraw it for the day and correct it legally with a legal opinion from our legal department.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you. In response to the previous speaker, I fully intend to, if it goes to third reading, to reconsider it so that we do get an opinion. But at this time, I think, as previously discussed, I think it's very clear. The drafter, Udermal, and I have great discussion as to keeping open the avenues of participation with federal agents on enforcement of federal laws that were not in conflict. So, but with continuing concern on that, I would be more than willing to have them readdress that and give us an opinion in writing to the fact that we could put on the record that there was not a problem.
Further debate. Is the objection to amendment number one maintained?
Yeah. Worth trying.
The question before the body, shall amendment number one pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. The secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, amendment number one has passed the Senate.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. SB 19 as amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I'm tempted to object because the co-chair of finance said if it advances. I was wondering if he knew something I didn't know. I was going to see who we could get to come out of the woods here.
Hearing no objections, so ordered.
Senate Bill number 19 amended, an act relating to enforcement of federal laws relating to fish and game and repealing the power and duty of the Commissioner of Fish and Game to assist in the enforcement of federal laws relating to fish and game.
Is there a debate? Hearing no debate, the question before the body, shall Senate Bill 19, amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by 15 yeas to 4 nays, Senate Bill 19, amended Senate, has passed the Senate. Senator Adams.
I served notice of my vote on Senate Bill number 19.
Notice reconsideration had been given on Senate Bill number 19.
Mr. Chairman, may we revert up to introduction of guests, please?
Is there objection? Hearing none, Senator, you have the floor.
Yes. Some of my Lower Kuskokwim School District is here with me,
And would you help me welcome Max Angelin, if you stand, Richard Curtis, and Roland Lewis.
Further guests for introduction. Seeing none, that brings us to the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill number 22 by Senator Sharp and Taylor, an act relating to qualifications for appointment to the Board of Game. State Affairs Committee considers the bill recommends a committee substitute signed to pass Senator Green Chair, Senators Mackey, Ward, and Miller, signed no recommendation, Senator Duncan. Resources recommends a resources CS signed to pass Senator Green Vice Chair, Senators Torgerson, Lehman, Sharp, and Taylor. Rules recommends calendar signed to calendar, Senator Kelly Chair, and also signed to pass. Senators Lehman and Torgerson signed to calendar, Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Hufford.
I move and ask unanimous consent the Resources Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill number 22, Resources, and I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor.
I move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute Senate Bill number 22, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
CS for Senate Bill number 22, Resources, an act relating to qualifications for appointment to the Board of Game.
Is there debate? Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. I heard the debate in the Resources Committee, and I do thank the member for amending it in Resources to have at least 5 of 7 years. But, Mr. President, I'm still concerned about the effects of this on a segment of our population, and that is, and when we say that the members will be based, or appointment shall be based on the interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge, ability in the field of action of the board, and diversity of interests and points of views throughout Alaska, I'm very concerned that this bill may be very restrictive and not allow some segments of our population to be a member of this seven-person board. And Mr. President, I say that because in 1995, we had the Alaska population with age 18 and over, 47, almost 48% were women. And in looking at the number of licenses that were held in just 1995 by women, it was 5.5%. of women held those licenses. And then if you look further then of the licenses held of 5 of the last 7 years, then we get down to something less than 5%. And I think that that's not the intent of this legislation, because then that means that 96-97% of women in Alaska would be ineligible to serve on this board, because you must have the license held of 5 of the last 7 years. And since 1975, Mr. President, 6 women have been appointed and confirmed to the board. In the first 10 years from 1975 to 1984, there were no women on the board at all. And I think that if we're going to be making some progress in this area, this is not the direction to go. We would also see that handicapped persons who do not meet the licensing criteria would also be ineligible to serve on the board. Say a person who's hunted for 25 years and of the last 7 years has had an illness that they could not go out and hunt, did not get a hunting or trapping license, and would then become ineligible. And I don't think that we should do that when we're trying to have a broad point of view on this board. I believe that when we look at the service, I mean, it's a huge commitment to be on the Board of Game, and that we should be encouraging knowledgeable people to be on the board and not discouraging the diversity within our state. I also think, Mr. President, that we have seen some of the nominees that have not been confirmed. I'm not so sure that the two women that are nominated now would meet the criteria that's laid out in this bill. And it doesn't mean that just because one goes out and kills an animal that makes you a better board member. I think that you could have somebody who may not have a trapping or hunting license that might be a biologist or might know an awful lot about the game population in the state that would be an excellent board member. Or somebody who doesn't have a hunting or trapping license that would go out into the field with other people and help and not be required to have a license. And they too would be excluded under this legislation. Again, Mr. President, I just feel that this bill it discriminates against women, discriminates against folks who are handicapped, and this is not the direction that we should be going in. It says very clearly that the folks, the criteria that's used in selecting these folks, and if we disagree with that, we have the option to then not confirm them. So there is that option there, and then we get another name if they are not somebody that fits our particular liking or feel that they would not serve well in the Board of Game. But please don't exclude 50% of the population, especially that are women, that only hold 5% of the licenses out there. I just think that that's the wrong signal that we're giving to our citizens of Alaska of trying to get more people involved in the governmental system.
Senator Green.
Mr. President, I would just like to clarify. I think when we were talking about the percentages in Senate resources, the 5% or plus equated to in excess of 7,500 individual women who would be in the pool for being considered for an appointment on that board. We felt like that was a fairly lively, you know, a qualified pool of women who might be brought forth as candidates for this particular board.
For the debate. Senator Lincoln?
Well, Mr. President, while that might be a significant number in the previous speaker's mind, how do you like a selection of 250,000 to select from for the male counterpart?
Senator Taylor?
Well, I would hope that'd be the number, but I don't think we're up to that yet. The total number of licensed sales, I think, is somewhere over 100,000, and it may be that that one gender or the other makes up a more significant population. That is not the thrust of the legislation, is to exclude anyone. It certainly was never intended as such. In fact, the thrust of the legislation, all the funds being utilized today by that board come from federal and state license fees and excise taxes on hunting and fishing and other activities. Those are the funds that in essence become somewhat of a trust with the state of Alaska. There's a fiduciary relationship in that we should be managing those funds on behalf of the people that pay those funds to us to make certain that we develop an abundance of resources. Unfortunately, we currently seem to be targeted on developing a scarcity of resources by the way we're managing these resources. And it was just felt that if the people who are actually paying for the fiddler, they ought to be able to call some of the tunes, and that they probably would be better as resources for us as a board member if they had truly participated in the activities that the board regulates. And it's not uncommon, if you look through our statutes, we find that within engineers there as a group. Engineers are chosen as a group to make up certain panels across the state. And we make certain that we have, quote, an engineer on that panel. Or we make certain that we have a doctor on another panel. And I would imagine some of the same statistics could be quoted from my colleague about how the gender relationships or makeups may be statistically within those particular professions. There may be more men that are engineers than there are women that are engineers. And by saying that only an engineer can be on that panel, we may be excluding someone. But what we're really trying to do is not exclude people. What we're trying to do is bring some expertise to the board that the board may not have if someone were to choose folks that have never hunted, never been involved in game activities, and put them on the board and loaded up the board with a group of people that knew nothing about hunting or game concerns. And it certainly is not an exclusive. It's not a list that's intended to exclude people when you say that the people selected should have a basis of interest in public affairs, should have good judgment. I hope we would exclude people with bad judgment. Should have knowledge and ability in the field of action. We require that on all kinds of other boards. This is one of the few boards that we have never said, you ought to know something about game before you sit on the game board. This is, I think, very crude parameters to draw a circle around. And, in fact, past appointments based on gender do not seem to reflect the statistical anomalies that she has referred to. In fact, I think that past governors, including this one, have selected people based on their quality, not on their plumbing.
Further debate. Hearing no for the body. Shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 22, Resources, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 15 yeas to 4 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 22, Resources, has passed the Senate. Next item on the calendar.
Citations.
Senator Lincoln.
Likes to ask for reconsideration of Senate Bill 22.
Notice of reconsideration of Senate Bill 22 has been given. Next item.
Citation celebrating the rededication and the 100th anniversary of Unalaska Holy Ascension Cathedral, honoring Dan Newman, in memoriam Con Millis.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objections, the citations have been approved. That brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished? Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 94. This is a bill that would classify Rohypnol as a Schedule 4A controlled substance.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Senator, you will be shown as co-sponsor. Senator Wilkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent to waive Senate Concurrent Resolution 4 from Senate Hess. SCR 4 declares March 1997 as Sobriety Awareness Month.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, it has been waived from committee. Senator Taylor.
Yes, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the publication and 5-day notice be waived on CS for House Bill number 120, Judiciary. That is, quote, an act relating to the power of the Attorney General to waive immunity from suit in federal court and providing for an effective date for the Judiciary Committee meeting to be held on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. I thank my colleague for the objection. The reason for this is that the matter has moved over from the House. Is it at the request of the Attorney General's office to be expedited and basically through inadvertence on the part of my staff, and I hope you'll forgive them for that. We had notified or attempted to notify the body that upon referral, and we should have noticed it pending referral so as to expedite it for the Attorney General's office. We didn't do that, and as a consequence, missed the date last Thursday. I think there's significant support for this legislation. It will have a full opportunity for hearing this Wednesday, and little would be gained by delaying the additional 2 days, except by so doing, we would further prevent the Attorney General's office and the assistant DAs that have been working on this case from being able to file in a timely manner.
Senator Duncan.
We haven't introduced this.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make a couple points on this motion that's been made. Clearly the majority has the votes to go ahead and waive publication notice and hold the hearings whenever they want to, and of course to waive bills out of committee. But there is a process that's to be followed. The requirement for the publication notice on the previous Thursday, and then the hearing scheduled the next week, is so that the public has an opportunity to participate in the process, so that clearly they know what's coming along and they have the opportunity to participate in the process. What this means, of course, is this bill is just being noticed today that it's going to be heard on Wednesday of this week, as I understand what the Majority Leader said. Normally, it would have been noticed last Thursday it was going to be heard on Wednesday. So I'm very concerned that it seems like it's happening quite frequently this session already. Two or three times we've waived notice and we've waived bills from committee. There's the process to be followed, and we really do, I think, take away from the public's ability to participate in issues and debate on issues when we follow that procedure. So I'm going to, whatever the merits of this legislation are, aren't important at this point in my mind. I think I'm going to maintain the objection just so it's clear that from the minority viewpoint, we believe that the rules are there to be followed and that proper notice should be given, and that I do forgive his staff, but I don't, you know, that shouldn't be an excuse we use to cut the public out of the process, that someone overlooked putting it on the schedule. It should be surely on the schedule the previous Thursday.
Senator Taylor.
Well, I do think this one is an extraordinary circumstance, and that's the only time we've ever waived rules around here, when it was an extraordinary matter. And for that reason, the Attorney General's office is basically needing this legislation so that they can litigate the issue of navigable waters and the reservations that are claimed by the federal government within those navigable waters, and that's a very serious matter. I had assumed that they had been talking with other members and so on, and I apologize for the fact that they may not have. But it is a serious matter because it was a filing deadline that was coming up. And this came to us from the other body without a lot of background work being done to notify us and get us geared up for it, so to speak. And I do agree with the minority leader that we should not be just willy-nilly passing these things off. They have applied for a 90-day extension. And if, in fact, the 90-day extension is granted, and that news should probably hit us within the next couple days, there may not be a need to expedite this matter. And had that been the case, had they had the 90-day extension, I never would have asked for this. But apparently they haven't got it yet, and that's the concern, is that they be able to file something in response to the federal government. And that's the only reason it's before you. And I do agree with the minority leader. We shouldn't be doing it except in extremely tenuous circumstances like these are.
For the debate, the question before the body, shall the body weigh Uniform Rule 23 in regards to committee substitute for House Bill 120, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 4 nays, the Uniform Rule 23 has been waived in regards to committee substitute for House Bill 120, Judiciary. Further, unfinished business. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to a call for Wednesday's session. I'll be leaving Tuesday afternoon and intend to be back in town at first plane, but the plane coming out of Wrangell gets here too late. I'll be back about 1:30 on Wednesday afternoon.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, you're excused, Senator. Senator Donnelly.
I ask unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 19 that's regarding Commissioner of Fish and Game duties.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Senator, you'll be shown as co-sponsor.
I'd also move and ask unanimous consent to be shown as a co-sponsor of SJR 10, which relates to the elected Attorney General.
Is there objection? Hearing none, you'll be shown as co-sponsor. Further unfinished business brings us to announcements. Special orders. Senator Taylor, 10:45 tomorrow.
Move and ask unanimous consent. The Senate stand in adjournment until 10:45 tomorrow morning, Tuesday a.m.
Is there objection? Hearing no objections, we've adjourned until 10:45.